Life can be a real drag. Today on Podcast Magoria. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. My name's Autumn.
And I'm James.
And today, we are on our D movie, chugging right along, choo-choo. And D, of course, standing for Drag Me to Hell.
Yes, and also for D's Nuts.
Oh my god. Oh, you still have the school age mindset from the last movie, huh?
That's right. My best friend is Patriot.
Oh my god. Anyway, Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah, Sam Raimi classic coming out in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
It's only an hour and 39 minutes of good old-fashioned Sam Raimi madness.
Wow, it's only an hour and 39 minutes?
Depending on what's going on in your life, depends on if that feels really long
yeah,
or not long at all.
I feel like we've watched this at different points in our life, definitely.
Yes.
First time seeing it, absolute joy.
Yeah. See, now that makes it sound like... Second time I saw it, I'd rather wash my head in a sack of turds.
This third time, I just... Oh, my God. I wanted to just end it all.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
By pressing stop.
You're just going to have to listen to see what we think about the movie.
Yeah, or skip to the end, I suppose. Or
yeah.
Skip to my loo, my darlings.
A spoiler alert is positive.
What? Could it be because I said Sam Raimi classic? And this movie is chock full of all the classic Sam Raimi tropes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like if you've seen one Sammy Raimi.
Sammy Raimi?
If you've seen one Sammy Raimi. Then you've seen them all, folks. And it's funny because the fact that we watched this movie only a few days after I had finally got my hands on a copy of Darkman on DVD.
Yes.
Which I hadn't watched that movie since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And whew, that one is dialed up.
It is.
But we're not here to talk about that movie. We are here to talk about this movie.
I mean, it
does
also start with D.
It did. Then what if we played the old switcheroo?
No.
What if people came here to talk, like to listen to us talk about this one other movie? What if people came here to listen to us talk about Drag Me to Hell, and then I snuck them on in, snuck in the dark man. with Liam Neeson's.
I feel like we should probably do a more in-depth episode for Darkman,
yeah, or at the very least it'll get its time when we get around to doing a Sam Raimi Cool Ghoul episode.
Yeah, of course,
that's got to happen some point in time. All right, enough blibble blabble and nonsense, let's get into talking about this movie. I think that's the second time I've said that. The movie opens on Pasadena, 1969. Eyebrows raised.
Yeah, we're just seeing, you know, your kind of classic exorcism scene where the family's like, oh, our child's sick and your only hope.
Shit goes sideways.
Yeah.
Blim
blam. Of course it does. Yeah, like it's really quick with the demons and hell stuff.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the exorcism doesn't go well. We literally get to see a child get dragged down into the depths of hell.
Yeah, that's a strong opening.
Yes.
And then we have a long opening.
Yes.
Yeah, the opening credit sequence, though cool, and again, Sam Raimi as fuck. Because he loves the, like, I mean, if you somehow haven't seen Evil Dead. Like, this is how this usually works. Is yeah. You're flipping through the pages, you got some Kandarian demon eating a lollipop.
Well, and it's really cool because it's like woodcuts and whatnot yeah. of demons throughout the ages.
Yeah, it is a really neat sequence. And
it's really cool if you're a mythology nerd like yeah. me, because you're like, cool.
To pick your brain, like, how much, because I don't know, like, this is your area, this is your expertise, so I'm gonna put you in the hot seat.
Oh no.
And ask you this: how many of the images was that all actual, like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
those are
none of that was
like
created
from,
for the film. It was,
as far as I'm aware, yeah, those are all from yeah okay. medieval stuff.
Dang, that's cool.
Different, because it went up until like the 1700s of yeah. illustrations, right?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. And like, it's so okay. Well, that's neat. That makes this even cooler. I don't the medieval demon stuff. Like, though I find interesting, I don't know a whole lot. Like, that wasn't my special interest when it came to the spooky, scary stuff. Whoops. After we get done with the incredibly long credit sequence, though cool, we are finally brought to modern times, and we are introduced to our main character.
Yeah. Christine.
Yeah.
We're just kind of seeing her go about her daily life. Mm-hmm. You know, she's practicing diction, mm-hmm. passing up sweets in the windows mm-hmm. as she's getting to work. And when she gets to work, we see her life. It's kind of meh.
Yeah, it's very humdrum. Like, the little sprinklings of what's going on with her life ultimately, and the main drive for her character throughout the film, other than surviving certain doom, is getting that big promotion to be the assistant manager at the bank she works at. How we know this, folks, is because she eyeballs an empty desk across the way from her desk that says assistant manager.
Yeah, she's trying to get that job, and she finds out that she's actually up against her coworker, who is actually a newer guy. So why is he a choice? Well, because he's a go-getter.
That's right.
Because he's aggressive, and Christine is not.
Yeah.
While she's knowledgeable, she's been there a long time, and she should get the position.
Yeah, quality, folks. Quality. Actually, who knows? Maybe she shit at her job. We don't know. She's been in the same position for how many years?
Well, I mean, she's definitely not aggressive with...
Yeah.
And in this world, because she works in, like, banking.
Yeah.
You have to be a little aggressive with people.
Gotta want it.
And not be so, like, you haven't paid your bill in, like, a year. Oops. We'll give you another extension.
That's right. That sounds like plot information there, Autumn. Yeah, by the way, her coworker that's possibly up for the position, his name is Stu. I'm going to say it right now. Fuck Stu.
Fuck Stu.
We're going to have to bleep that.
He is in the same category as Patriot with us.
Oh, man. Every movie's got to have one, right?
That's right. Yeah, he even comes up and kind of interrupts the conversation between her and the boss, mm-hmm. and they send her to go get lunch.
Yes. Oh.
If she's a lowly assistant. While she's on lunch, she goes ahead and visits with her boyfriend, and, you know, we kind of find out a little bit about their background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been dating a year, and somehow his mom still can't remember her frickin' name.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, how much interaction has she had with his parents after they've been dating a year?
So my assumption is none whatsoever. Right. I think that Clay is protecting her from his parents, because yeah. especially his mom.
Yeah, they come on very strong.
Yes, and I think that it was ultimately like he knows that she's not going to pass his mom's approval
yeah.
regiment.
Yeah, probably.
And, well, and I mean, like, we already have an idea with this, because after they have their lunch, and she gifts him a very nice unique coin.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she ends up overhearing a phone conversation with Clay and his mom.
Yeah.
And it's just that. Very, like, why are you wasting your time with this loser girl?
Yeah.
When I know this other girl that's definitely right up, you know, she's trying to play matchmaker. As if love doesn't matter, folks. What a turd.
When she makes it back to work, Stu is being Stu. He's being a bleep. About the food that she brought back.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, what was it? What was the item? Was it mayo?
Yeah, something like that.
He keeps saying, "Oh well, I specifically said that you messed up my. I said not to have mayo on my sandwich, and you messed up my order."
And like, apparently, he didn't. I don't really. As soon as I hear an order, I'm like, I'm not listening.
He did not say it.
Well, dang.
That oh fucking stew.
After the sandwich debacle, Christine quickly returns to work, and we meet one of her new clients, Mrs. Ganesh.
Yeah.
And here's where that plot point comes back.
Yeah.
That I was talking about earlier, except mm-hmm. for it hasn't been a year. It's only been 3 months, but mm-hmm. she is very behind on her house payments because mm-hmm. she's been having some health issues. She's a very old woman. Mm-hmm. She's begging Christine, please get me an extension again. I promise I'll pay.
Mm-hmm.
And Christine, being the sweetheart that she is, she's like, okay, let me go talk to my boss and see what I can do for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, your boss is just like, well, you know, if you're going to be in that assistant manager position, you're going to have to make hard decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to make the tough call. And she's just like, okay, yes, all right, I can do it. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so she decides to deny the poor old lady the extension, because she's already had a few extensions at this point. So,
yeah,
tough luck.
She's already used up whatever she can.
Mm-hmm.
Christine even starts to try to give her some options, like, well, could you stay in a nursing home or get government housing or something?
Yeah, stay with a relative.
Stay with a relative. And she's like, no, of course not. I'm not going to do any of that. Yeah. This is my home. And it's like, well, sorry, lady.
Shit, lady, sorry. Like, it sucks, but it also sounds like maybe you should have been working on this stuff.
Because she's got a daughter, apparently.
Yeah.
And she's like, I wouldn't do that to my daughter.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, sorry. Like, see, this is the problem. So I think as an audience, we're supposed to feel bad for the lady. But being a person that's been in certain levels of customer service, I can't help but be a little callous
and be like, you'd have that assistant manager position of the bank.
Or at the very least, I would have been drugged to hell.
For real.
And personally, like, after all the times I've denied folks stuff in my customer experience or customer service experience, I'm surprised I haven't been drugged to hell yet. There's plenty of little old ladies I've made upset.
Because they didn't have their receipt.
Amongst other things,
yeah.
We're wanting to haggle prices and stuff. And it gets my goat.
Well, speaking of haggling, freaking Mrs. Gunnish straight up gets on her knees and starts begging and crying and yelling. Security comes over, and this is when she gets embarrassed.
Yeah. How dare you shame me?
I mean, she was shaming herself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's putting in on this giant act to get pity.
Yeah.
Man,
are we just callous?
Maybe. Because, I think if you would have asked us back whenever we were, like, in our early 20s, we'd be like, oh, fucking banks, why are they beating up old ladies? And now I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe you need to be a more responsible person. I'm getting cursed, guys.
Yes, you are. You are. I would try to try as many options as I could with her.
And you'd still get cursed.
And I'd still get cursed.
So
yeah.
Why even?
I don't know.
Don't go through rigmarole.
Break an old lady's heart. You know what? You might as well just curse me now, lady.
Yeah. Maybe she'd respect you for having, you know, moxie.
Oh.
Like, because I think this is what, like, she smelt the weakness.
She did.
On Christine.
Yeah. She could see it in her face, too.
Yeah. Because if Christine had, you know, a backbone and was actually, like, she would have probably pushed back on her boss. She'd be the assistant manager by now.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd be the bank manager by now. But because that little sniveling weed of a boss, that guy from City Slickers, like, she would have been like, I'm going to do what's right.
Right.
Or just told Miss Ganoush, there's the door, lady. Don't let it hit you where the good Lord split you.
Lord. Speaking of that boss, he comes out and he's like, Christine, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, you did the right choice. Now, I didn't remember how that went. And so he came out. I thought he was going to go, well, because everybody in the bank is so shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, what? How could you do that? And like, you hear murmurs.
Yes.
Like that.
And so I was waiting for him because he's looking around, seeing everybody, you know, panicked from the scene.
Yeah.
And so I was waiting for him to go, you know, sometimes it's okay to bend the rules a little bit. I was waiting for, like, for those that have been in certain retail positions, this is usually called giving them the pickle.
Yeah.
And if you know, you know.
Anyway, he's very proud. Even says, hey, you're at the top of the list now for that assistant manager position.
A list of two.
Yeah. You're at the top of the list,
you're at
baby.
I'll tell you, you were riding kind of low on this list. But you dug your way to the top. You clawed your way out of this hole. And you're above all the other candidates. All one other candidates.
Oh, you got it, baby.
All right, let's get to, we got so much meat to get to. Let's move on.
Well, yeah, because we're going to start getting to the creepy meat in this very next scene. Because Christine, she's still very shaken up from the scene and whatnot, despite the good news from her boss.
Yeah.
But she's even more creeped out because as she gets to her car after her shift, she starts to hear coughing.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that old lady's following me.
Mm-hmm.
But she gets to her car, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But she's handkerchief jump scared. Oh,
I nearly wet myself.
I will say we do kind of see this a couple of times with the handkerchief. Like, so it's obviously something that is very connected to this old lady.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, she's always coughing into the damn thing.
It's probably alive itself.
Yeah.
Because of all the germs on it.
Mm-hmm. Thinking that she's safe, and she goes, just a
handkerchief.
Just a creepy old handkerchief. Oh. That's when Mrs. Ganoush comes out of the back seat.
Yeah, and this whole fight scene is just totally, like, classic Raimi-esque with the camera angles and the really, like, almost cartoonish violence.
Yeah.
Ugh. So nasty. Christine's able to get out of the situation by crashing her car into another car, like essentially just creating a bunch of disaster in her way.
Yes.
But she gets out.
Yeah, she's a survivor.
So she's able to get Miss Ganoush out of the car, and she gets her locked out, and we don't see her for a minute, so we're like, oh, she must be passed out. Jumps right back up.
Yeah, it's a lot of back and forth between them. And I don't want to give away too much for what all happens.
It's just way too entertaining of a scene.
It's batshit, like, crazy.
In general.
Yeah.
Like, from the car to the outside.
Yeah.
All in all, though, Christine gets cursed.
Yes. Yes, that's what's important.
That's the punchline of the entire scene. She's getting cursed.
Yeah, Mrs. Gunnish takes the button off of Christine's sleeve and puts a curse on her and gifts the button back. And Christine kind of goes into this like she's in a trance almost from it. And it's just like, oh, shit, you done been cursed. And then before Mrs. Gunnish leaves, she says, soon it will be you that comes begging to me.
Ooh. Ooh.
This is such an old black and white movie kind of feel.
That's exactly the feel of this movie. Mm-hmm. Definitely like that early 50s era of classic movie.
Yeah, like any of those like old films that deal with mysticism and that kind of stuff. This just fits perfectly in that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a little bit, you know, that
it's got that modern little twist.
That Raimi razzmatazz.
That's right.
Yeah, later on, you know, after all this, Clay and Chris, as I'm going to call her, probably for the rest of the episode, they're walking. Ooh, there's a spooky wind. As she's talking to him about like the events and stuff, they stop in front of a spiritualist's business. And she's just like, hey, I know this sounds crazy, which is something that she says a lot, but I need to stop in to this place and get my fortune read just because I feel icky after this situation. I know it sounds silly, but I think that just to put my mind at ease, I want to dive in here. And of course, Clay is just, this is nonsense.
Yeah, he's a skeptic to
with. Through and through.
So of course, when she was telling him, oh, it was weird, the lady was being weird, he's like, she's just a weird old lady. And then when she's trying to do this, he's like, that's not, all that is bullshit. When they go in, they meet the psychic.
Yes.
The spiritualist, Ram Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, I can read your fortune. It'll be $60, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
Clay is awful.
Yes.
Because, like, there's a certain level of skepticism.
Yeah.
Where you can go, oh, I don't, you go ahead and do this. He can be passive like that. He can be like, you go ahead and have your fun. I'll be over here. But he's shit-talking the entire time.
Yeah.
Even when something spooky happens, he's still like, poof.
Oof.
And shit talks it after the fact.
Yeah.
And it's just like, dude, you literally like saw like the weirdness happen.
Yeah, because I mean, he immediately picks up on her button being lost and he's like, oh, there is a bad energy about you. What's going on?
Yeah.
And as they're kind of going through the reading, things in the room start to shake. And
he goes into a trance and sees an evil face and is just like, well, okay, nope, you're fine. Time to go. You know what? And I'll even give you your money back. I'm sorry, folks. I got to close. Oh, look at the time. We got to go. It's just that's so typical of a lot of these movies where you have a person that's supposed to be a, quote, professional.
Yeah, and then as soon as they see something that's, like, really real.
Yeah, they're like,
nope. Oh, no.
Take care.
Too much for me.
Take care. You know, it was very, like, Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost.
Yes, yes, very much. I love this kind of thing when it happens.
Yeah.
I will say, though, he does eventually, after she's like, what? What do you see? What's going on? He does go, you have a demon. You are cursed. So sorry.
Yeah. Good luck. On the car ride home, Clay is still just like, psh, that was all horseshit. And she's just like, well, he did offer to get me my money back. And he's like, yeah, but did he give it to you?
Yeah, which, I mean, good point.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we didn't see how that conversation went. It was probably her going, no, keep it.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, okay, thanks.
Or he was so shaken up that didn't even, like, think about.
He was shoving him out the door.
Yeah, yeah.
It had to have been. And then took a hot shower and cried while eating pie.
Right. When she finally makes it home, they part for the night. And she just kind of goes about her night. She starts to bake a cake. And while she's going about doing this, she starts to hear noises and thumps
Mm-hmm.
Mm, some real creepy stuff's going down.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't creepy at all.
Yeah.
It's just her gate.
That's right. Psh, don't have to worry about that. Evil wind!
Ah!
Yep. Good old Evil Dead-esque moment with the evil wind coming in and shaking up poor Chris.
I always think of Pazuzu, though, whenever I see evil wind stuff. Because, I mean, you know. That's what Pazuzu do.
Mm-hmm. That's what Pazuzu do.
Yep.
Later, even more so, Clay thinks that Mrs. Ganoush had attacked Christine, and she's just like, no, it definitely wasn't her. And he's just like, well, you know, let's call the cops and all that. And she's like, no. And
yeah, because the wind that comes through her house, they're trying to blame it on Mrs. Ganoush, but it's like... An old lady ain't gonna move that fast that you can't even see her.
Right, yeah. She's not doing backflips through the place smashing dishes. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because she did actually get a little beaten up from the force that comes into her house. And the doctor tries to explain all of this as, oh, she's got PTSD from her attack. Mm-hmm. It's okay. This happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
No, this is not how this happens.
Yeah, she smashed all the stuff, right?
Yeah.
Clay tells her that he thinks that maybe the visit with his parents isn't good timing because she's clearly having a lot of stress from her job, plus also this whole Mrs. G nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe she just needs to take it easy, but Chris is just like, no, I need to meet your parents.
That night, he does decide to sleep over to kind of keep an eye on her and make sure that, you know, she doesn't have another episode.
Mm-hmm.
And some freaky stuff's going on while the couple's trying to sleep.
That's right. You know, it's weird because I've always known the statistic about how, you know, when you sleep, you eat, like, what, a dozen spiders throughout the night?
Unless you're Spider
not
George.
Throughout the night, throughout the year. I wake up with a mouthful of spiders.
I was going to say Spiders George, but sounds like Spiders James over here with your 10 dozen a night.
Oh, man, if I can get at least a dozen spiders in my belly by the morning, I'm a happy James.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, anywho, I've heard of having spiders through the middle of the night, but a fly?
Oh, the classic, you know, demons and flies are best friends, you know, Beelzebub, whatever.
This makes me think of, like, I want like a children's book drawing of like a fly and a demon holding hands and like skipping like in like a playground.
Yes.
If somebody could make that happen, I'd really appreciate it.
Oh my gosh.
We're Beelza buds.
Look, okay. When I first saw this movie, there were so many little like clues to all these different demons throughout the film that I kept being like, oh, Pazuzu.
Yeah.
Oh, Beelzebub. Oh, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Wait till you find out what demon it is.
Yeah. You stay tuned, folks.
If you're a nerd like me.
If you're a demon nerd. She also ends up, after eating the fly, she has a vision of Mrs. G vomiting worms into her mouth. Yuck. I've heard of eating spiders and flies in your sleep, but getting an old lady to throw up worms into your mouth? Now I've heard everything.
Jesus. Yeah, she snaps awake and it is the next morning.
Yeah.
Whew, just a dream.
Yeah, good thing she didn't eat any damn flies.
Yeah, good thing.
Worms or spiders.
Despite being so shaken up, she does end up going to work the next day. And Stu is instantly on her ass she comes in, as if he's already the assistant manager.
Stu is a sneaky bitch.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, Chris is all sorts of amped up. She's hallucinating the Mrs. G's fingers ticky tapping on the desk, where she ends up yelling at Stu.
Yeah. Over. Yeah, because she's hallucinating that his hand is Mrs. G's hand.
Yeah, well, she says, get your filthy pig knuckle
off my desk. Yes, I love that line so much. It's like one of my favorite lines in the movie.
And then she has an epic nosebleed.
Yes.
I love that. And what I love the most about that is, it's Sam Raimi throwing in the spraying blood and such. But the best thing about this entire moment is hearing the boss off camera going, "Did I get any in my mouth? Is there any in my mouth?"
Yes.
It's so funny.
And why we said Stu is sneaky is because in this moment of weakness, we see him freaking steal this very important file from Christine, which we haven't really mentioned because,
we're here for the demon shit.
Yeah, we're here for the scary.
Yeah, well,
Who cares about banking?
Yeah, I don't care about banking. I don't care about the McPherson file. I really don't give a fuck about Stu.
Unless it's a McPherson tape. I don't care.
That's right. Maybe they're getting a loan for alien abductions.
Yeah, maybe.
Chris ends up going to Mrs. G's house.
She's tired of this already.
Yeah, she's just like, all right, I'm going to go beg. I'm going to eat some crow. Might as well throw some crow on top of the spiders, flies, and worms.
But surprisingly, when she gets to her house, she's met by her granddaughter, which we're, as the audience, I'm like, oh. Maybe she's trying to find a way to live.
Oh, things are working out.
Oh, that's so great. So this granddaughter's kind of standoffish with Christine because she knows exactly who she is and what she's there for. So she invites her in. Yeah. Come on in.
Yeah, come in. Yeah,
why don't you see what's going on?
Yeah. Whoops.
It is a traditional Romani funeral with everybody there having a big celebration and Mrs. G is right there in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
And in a big old casket.
And Chris ends up making the dreadful error of tipping over Mrs. G, who falls right on top of her, and all this embalming fluid, she gets Nickelodeon slimed.
Oh, it's so gross. It's one scene that actually does make me feel a little queasy, and it doesn't happen very often, but it's so gross.
Yeah, just absolutely awful.
She goes back to Ramjaz, and he kind of tells her a little bit more information about what's going on and what demon it is.
Yeah.
And folks, it's a Lamia demon. Not even real. Not even really real. Real type of Lamia either.
Yeah. More like a Lamia.
Yeah, Lamia is more like it.
Ultimately, she learns that if she doesn't get this curse off of her, she's going to be dragged to hell. Hey, it's the title.
Hey, they said it. Credits.
That's it. He ends up giving her a book on animal sacrifice to hopefully appease the demon.
He does say that this is the only way to help.
Yeah.
Which I'll bring up later.
Okay. Oh, okay. Damn.
She doesn't want to do the animal sacrifice, though, because she's a vegetarian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a little...
She's against animal cruelty.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Oh,
so
we can't do this.
She goes home and is just trying to deal with all this whirlwind of madness that's happened to her in the past 48 hours. She's gone through a lot of things.
I'm just saying she just keeps going through things because the spirit's haunting her during the day.
She is haunted by a shadow shambling through the house, and she's trying to call Clay. Of course, no answer happens. The phone dies. That classic nonsense. And then spooky shadow tosses her around like she's a rag doll. It's just, I can't say it enough. Sam Raimi.
Is that Sam Raimi violence action?
It's not a Sam Raimi movie if someone's not floating around in the air.
Yes. She decides that this is her final straw, getting thrown around by the Lamia.
Yeah.
she goes and grabs her little kitten that we've seen on and off throughout the film. And, you know, when you heard the animal sacrifice part, you kind of have it in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
That's the only animal we've seen is this cute little kitten.
Yep. That's right. Yep. She ends up burying the kitten in the backyard. Clay comes home, spots the blood on her shirt, and he's like, "Well, what's up with the blood?" She's like, "Oh, no, that's not blood. It's beet juice."
Yeah, yeah, beet juice.
Yeah, it's steamed hams.
Yeah, steamed hams.
She's just like, "You know what? Things are coming up, Milhouse." That's two Simpsons references.
Yeah, she's just like, "I think everything's going to be fine now. Let's go on that date to your parents' house right now."
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Perfect.
Because he was also kind of like, I don't know if we, you know, we really shouldn't do this.
He doesn't even know about her going to Mrs. G's.
Oh, yeah, I know.
He has no clue.
He just sees her, like, disheveled.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know that she was slimed. Just probably a few hours prior.
Well, they do end up going on that date to the parents' house. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to make a good first impression by bringing a cake. And these folks are way too rich for a homemade cake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the mom is kind of like, oh.
Ew, gross. It's a farm cake. It's
farm cake.
Yeah, a harvest cake is what it's actually called. But yeah, she's like, ugh. And yeah, his mom is just, I would say, sitcom level, you know, rich, snooty lady.
Well, yeah, the dad is very aloof as well. Mm-hmm. We get our first sign that things might not be as coming up Milhouse as they should be, because their house cat Hecuba, love the name, starts hissing at Christine. And if you've watched any movie like this, you know, animal acting up, no good.
Well, but maybe the cat just knew that she killed a kitten like 2 hours before that.
who knows
smell it on her,
who knows.
Yeah,
but hey, dinner ends up going well.
Yeah, Chris, with her super honesty, because Clay's mom is growing her about her parents, and Chris ends up telling her about how her mom's an alcoholic and all that, and Clay's mom's like, "I wish I had the bravery that you have to come out and say it."
Yeah.
She's like, "I had to deal with that, and I never, you know, had the balls to deal with it." And so that's fantastic.
Yeah, and then when she starts talking about her job, it starts to impress both of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's going great.
Yeah, fantastic. Roll out that harvest cake. You know what? I think I will have a slice.
Yeah. They even start to like it. They're like, "Ooh, this is so delicious." But Christine is not having a good time with her cake.
No. She's getting the spooky evil sounds in her ears again. and then sees an eyeball in the cake.
I love this. There's so many tropes in this movie that are just so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. To say the least, because I want to be gentle with this one. I don't want to reveal too much, but things go south very quick as she starts losing her damn mind at the dinner table, and ultimately it's decided that maybe it's best she leaves.
Yeah. Back to Ram Jazz's.
Yep.
She storms in going, "Why the hell did that not work?"
Yeah. Yeah. "I killed the damn cat. Why the fuck does this not, you know?" And he's just like, "All right, well, listen, I know somebody we can meet with, but I'm going to need $10,000 cash. That's how much it's going to cost. And I need it by tomorrow." Oh, boy.
Yeah, so he makes a plan for them. She's got to make a plan to get this money.
Yeah.
She immediately goes to her boss going, "Hey, can I have an advance on that position?"
Yep.
Because that works.
And he's just like, "What position? Oh, you mean the assistant manager position that I'm not giving you because you lost the McPherson file and we're not there? They went with a different bank, and so poop on you, lady."
Yeah, I'm giving the position to Stu after all.
Stu.
Fucking Stu. Ooh. Since that fell through, she starts to just grab everything she can to sell.
Yeah, yeah. She starts hawking all of her old stuff. And alas, it's not enough to make it. What, she ended up getting, like, I think it's like $3,000 or something like that.
It was, I think it was more than
maybe
that.
Maybe six?
I can't remember, but
it wasn't enough.
Amongst this whole montage anyway, we have another little fight scene with the with the demon Mrs. G. Actually has a comedic punchline to the fight scene.
Yes.
So I don't want to say what happens, but just watch out for it. It's hilarious.
But missed opportunity. When she was trying to make the extra cash, it should have been a montage and the song Everybody's Working for the Weekend.
Yeah, right. And as she's like, you know, selling stuff and, you know, walking dogs and whatnot, Mrs. G, demon, like,
keeps popping up.
Like, she pops up out of a trash can and Christine, like, punches her fast. Like, that would have been funny.
Gosh.
Sorry, Sam Raimi, your movie's not funny enough.
That's right. As she's sitting at her dining room table, just completely distraught about the situation, Clay comes over and reveals that he actually has fronted the money for it. Which
she's baffled because she's like, you don't believe in any of this stuff. And he's just kind of like, well, if it will help you.
I'm baffled that she told him.
Right?
Like,
yeah, because I had figured it might have been kind of hush-hush secret, but...
But at some point in time, they had to have had a conversation
that
was, hey, I need $10,000, I need to raise $10,000 or I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoops. The plan's going to go through. Ram Jazz is going to help. And we find out that the person that he's bringing in is actually the lady from the beginning that we saw trying to perform the exorcism. She hasn't done this since then because that shook her up so much. And this is specifically the demon that she was chasing at the time.
Yeah.
So that's why she's willing to help.
Yeah,
she's like, I got to get my revenge.
Yeah. I mean, you know. How much is she really wanting to help since she did ask for $10,000, but whatever.
I mean, you know, I guess you got to make your, you got to make up for all the money you didn't make all those years, I guess.
Well, don't do anything you're good at for free.
That's right. That's
good thing
right.
We're not good at this.
Right? Oh, my gosh. So we're taken to a spirit room. That's the best descriptor I can come up for it. And we start to see them do the seance, trying to summon the Lamia spirit. And we find out that they somehow need to get the spirit into a goat.
Yeah.
Which, during this scene, I swear they keep switching back and forth between a CGI goat and a actual animatronic goat. And keeps freaking me out.
There's only a handful of moments in this movie where it's like super obvious CGI. Because there's a moment earlier, like one of the gross out scenes, where it's like, that was the best they could have done.
And then,
yes, during this particular scene, there's a few like moments where I'm like, damn, this looks kind of just actually looks cheap.
For 2009.
For 2009, it was like, oh, really? Like, we spent all the budget on the goo.
That's right. That's right.
I guess, like, since we've glossed over a lot of the other big, crazy, scary moments, this is the scene of the movie, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is, like, I felt that it was... It settled this into the Evil Dead universe.
Yes.
Because it is 100% Evil Dead, like full on, you know, Deadite kind of possession.
Yeah, because up till now, there were kind of like scary scenes, like during the comedic like fight scenes, like she's screaming like a banshee and stuff like that. But it all still has this comedy to it to where it's not, like, super scary. But during the seance, yes, it starts to get a little spooky.
Yeah, yeah, where it's the fright kind of outweighs the comedy.
Yes.
Though there is some hard comedy.
Yes, because, I mean, there's a freaking goat involved. Yes. So, of course.
To not reveal too much about that, unfortunately, it all goes wrong in also typical Evil Dead fashion, where whatever ritual someone's trying to do, someone always fucks up the words or something doesn't go right. And this is no exception to that rule. Mm-hmm. It does not go right.
No. And I will say all the goat scenes are some of my favorite scenes in this film. Just so, so funny.
Yes. It is. It's top notch.
Because the goat ends up like talking a little bit too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Because the goat ends up calling her a bitch.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You bitch.
Chris ends up thinking that everything worked out because the lady was able to banish the demon for what seems forever. It's then revealed to her by Ramjas that, oh no, that was just getting the demon out of to close out the seance.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't, you're not removed from the curse. You're still very much cursed. And he explains to her that pretty much the only thing you can do at this point, if you don't want to be drugged to hell, is you need to take the cursed item and you need to gift it to someone so they become the possessor of the curse.
Yep. So they put the button in an envelope to easily hand it off to somebody.
Yep.
You know, things get quiet for a bit.
Yeah.
She's riding home with Clay. They almost get hit along the way.
Yeah.
There's some mix-up. Yeah. Along the way.
Yeah, she freaks out because she can't find the envelope, but then she finds it in the mix of all the papers and stuff in the car. She ends up going to a cafe and is looking around for a random stranger to pass this off to. She sees an old man on an oxygen tank sitting at a table by himself, and it's just like, okay, this is the guy.
Yeah, she... It's funny because she's literally looking at all the patrons going, okay, is it going to be this couple that's all lovey-dovey? Is it going to be this guy? Is it going to be this guy? And yeah, she decides on the guy that's pretty close to death.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
We don't know if he's going to go to hell when he dies, but, you know, 50-50 on that.
Yeah.
Might as well tip the scale. as she's walking up to give him the envelope, a little old lady comes up. And it's a sweet couple.
Yeah,
and it's like,
cute.
Oh, gee, yeah, I'm not going to curse this old man.
Can't do that.
So she's sitting there, just trying to think of who would be the best person. Who?
Oh, God, I wish I could think of somebody.
Who rhymes with stew? Son of a bitch.
Ah.
So she calls
Brilliant.
Stew. Yes. She calls Stew, and she's just like, I know that you're the one that fucked me. You're going to come to this diner and we're going to sort this shit out or I'm going to reveal everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he quickly comes to the diner and just like, please, I beg of you, don't ruin my life like I ruined yours.
It's also funny, though, because it wasn't like Stu was the first person I immediately thought of when Ron Joss was like, you need to hand the button to somebody.
Right. She's about to gift him the envelope, but then has a change of heart. She's a good person.
This is why she didn't get the assistant manager position.
Exactly. That's why she got cursed, because only good people get cursed. She tells him to fuck off, and she comes up with one more little idea, and she confirms with Ramjas that, what if, and this is so crazy, it just might work, what if she gifts the button back to Mrs. G? And so we have, this is an Ash Williams moment.
This is definitely the most Sam Raimi of Sam Raimi.
It is Ash going to the graveyard in Army of Darkness, getting the book, and then riding the horse back to the castle going, I said your damn words. I got your book. Now I'm going home. It's that kind of moment. She gets to the graveyard. She digs up Mrs. G. We have almost like a poltergeist situation with this.
Yes.
she also says to Ramjas that she's gonna ram that button down her fucking throat.
And she does after some... She struggles to get it down, that body's throat.
Yes.
And meanwhile, the freaking grave is also flooding while she's fighting with the body.
Yeah. Yes.
Another freaking comedic violence scene. Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's so fantastic. She manages to complete her task victorious. She's going to be meeting Clay at the train station the next day.
Her boss lets her know that Stu told him everything. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. It's a new day. And with a new day and a new lot on life, she also needs a new coat.
Of course. Of course.
Yep.
Her other coat's missing a button, after all.
So she meets up with Clay at the tracks, and it's just he's like, "Wow, you know, nice coat." She's like, "You're lying. Yeah, I needed something new. The old one was shit anyway."
He just goes, "Man, that's a real shame because I actually have your button, and we were gonna repair your coat." I thought,
"Oh no!"
Yes, folks. That little coin that we mentioned just briefly at the beginning of the episode, it had been in an envelope this entire time. Mm-hmm. And when the button got lost, there was a big mix-up, I said.
Yep.
I said there was a big mix-up.
Yep.
And, turns out Clay got the button.
Yep. Curtains for Chris in a crazy-ass way.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Clay is witness to her being drugged to hell.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Yeah, and that is a really epic scene as well. But gosh, it really does not feel like an hour and 39 minutes.
No, it goes by like, really quick.
No, it feels like a longer movie than that.
Oh, see, I think we got... Uh-oh.
Yeah, we're mixed up here.
Oh, geez.
But it's not in a bad way that it feels like it's so long. It's just like there's so much story packed in to that hour and 39 minutes that it's impossible to think, how did they do that?
Yeah.
Why can other movies not do that?
Right? There's so many movies that are 3 hours long that have no business being 3 hours long.
Yeah, because we got plenty of background about the character. Mm-hmm. We know about her daily life. We know about her relationships with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we still get to see all this cool demon shit on top of it.
Yeah. Like, spared no expense for special effects.
Yeah.
Here and there, maybe. but you get a lot of epic moments that are iconic and just your typical Sam Raimi fare.
Yes.
If I didn't say that enough times, I'm going to say it one more before we end the episode. Verdict, duh, it's worth watching.
Yes,
seek
absolutely.
It out. It is a must watch. If you've been sleeping on this one for whatever reason, check it out.
I know that whenever it came out, it wasn't very popular.
No.
It didn't do very well, and it surprised me at the time.
Yeah.
And it still surprises me that it didn't do well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I thought, it was definitely a... As we've said before in other episodes and stuff, the early 2000s was kind of a rough time for a lot of horror, especially major studios.
Yeah, but this is when it was starting to kind of take a turn, especially because online horror communities were really growing, with the creepypasta stuff at this time. So I think movies were trying to be more, hey, let's try to do something original.
Yes. Yeah, and so it was a good time for horror, this little chunk of time, because you had Drag Me to Hell, Trick or Treat, after being put on hiatus a million times, that had finally been released around this time, roughly, and so it was a good time. A time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. Wow, I'm glad I lived through that time period.
Yep. All right, folks. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. Our next movie, our next episode, is our E episode.
Ooh.
E for The Empty Man.
Ooh.
I don't know anything about this movie.
Have no idea about
it. This is the
it.
First one on the list that we, because I mean, even with old Dr. Fibes, like, I had an idea of what to get, what I was getting myself into.
Yeah.
But this one, like.
Absolutely no idea.
It was recommended to us.
Hadn't even heard of it when it was recommended.
Yeah.
So.
And we watched the trailer and it was just like, oh, you know what?
Yeah,
let's throw it on. Yeah.
Looks cool.
So tune in next time to see how we feel about that. Until next time, if you find yourself working in a bank, handing out loans, and giving extensions, and a little old lady comes in and is just like, excuse me, but I can't afford this month's pay. Can you please just give me one more week? You slam both hands down on that desk, look that old lady dead in the eye, and you go, I don't deal with bums. And you kick her to the curb. And as you see her screaming and crying while she's being drug out by the security, you must do one very important thing. Put a curse on her first. And most importantly, stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye. Bye. You've been listening to Podcast Megoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, theme by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky. Hee 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 hee.